Good evening. Today we'll be reading three sets of verses, and you would have received those on your way in on your handout. Our first verse is Proverbs 16, verse 9, and that's on page 640 of your Pew Bibles. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Proverbs 16, verse 33, that's on page 641. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And Proverbs 21, verses 30 to 31. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. This is God's word.
Let's pray once more as we approach God's word. Lord God, we praise you that all things are in your hands and that you can be trusted. Lord, help us to get a heart of wisdom, to hear your word and respond in faith and faithfulness. Help us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, I'm about to share something with you that will split the room. Some of you will be struck by how young I am. Some of you will be struck by how old I am. And there will be myself and Scott Riley in the middle. This weekend, marks the 20th anniversary of my graduation from high school, Northern Hemisphere school year. Some of my classmates from one of my schools have been reaching out and finding out what people are doing and what's going on. And what has been fun has been to reflect on the fact that our school produced a yearbook. And under the picture of each graduate, we were allowed to put quotes that we thought were good at that time. We also put where we were studying and what profession we were going into. And under my name, it said that I was moving to Washington, D.C., to study political science and to eventually join the FBI. In less than 6 months, all of that had changed. In 3 years later, I didn't even finish at that university. I was living in Melbourne instead of Washington, D.C. for another plan that did work. Got married to Alana. Then after that, we moved to Louisville, Kentucky in the U.S. for seminary, and our plan was to finish as quickly as possible and then move back and go into ministry in Australia. Well, 3 years later, we had given up on that. We thought there was no way for us to be able to wind up doing ministry in Australia. And now, 10 years later, look where we are. Whether you have definite plans or general aspirations for what's going to happen next, we all know this experience, don't we? Our plans rarely work out the way that we intended them to. We are so often reminded we don't actually get to control what will happen in our lives. And these proverbs that we just heard from teach us the way of wisdom, of responding to that reality, that life rarely turns out the way that we thought it would, that we don't control what will happen. The Bible teaches us to rest, not to be anxious, but to trust the Lord, because the Lord is the one who is in control of all results. That's our main idea for tonight. Trust the Lord with all results. You know, look there at those verses in 16, verse 9. In his heart, a man plans his course. We plan the way that we will go, but the Lord determines our steps. We might have ideas of where we think we are going, but each footstep, where it actually lands, is determined by God. Look at that one from chapter 21. Man is called to prepare for battle, But no wisdom, no insight, no plan can succeed against the Lord. Victory rests with the Lord. And then back there in 16, verse 33, even random chance comes from the Lord. Throwing of lots is like casting dice or flipping a coin. You know, from a human perspective, the whole point of it is the outcome is random and unpredictable. And yet Solomon says that every outcome of the lot cast into the lap is from the Lord. This isn't Solomon, you know, just picking a random word picture out of thin air. This is reflecting actually on the law of Moses in Exodus 28, where the Israelites were taught if they were to seek the will of God and it was unclear what they should do, they should go to the high priest who would cast lots. There's a clear teaching all through from the very beginning of Moses' law that every outcome comes from the Lord. That's not to say we should cast lots today. That continues in the Bible as a decision-making process right up until Acts 1, right before the Holy Spirit is poured out. After the Lord gives his Holy Spirit, there's no more casting of lots. But nonetheless, every decision of the lot comes from the Lord. Our actions are not in our control. Ours is the preparation, but the outcome belongs to the Lord. You see how Solomon speaks about this in these verses, and if you read other proverbs around here, the response to this reality is not fatalism. Well, it doesn't matter what I do, so why even bother? It's not sort of passive anxiety, sitting back and wondering what will happen and not doing anything. No, it is teaching us that our responsibility is to prepare, but the burden of guaranteeing results is not on our shoulders. It is our responsibility to prepare, but the burden of guaranteeing results is not on our shoulders. We so often want guarantees. If we do X, Y will certainly happen. Do this new workout and guaranteed in this amount of time, finally, you will have those abs. Do this course and in this amount of weeks, you will be able to achieve fluency in a language. Act in this way and you are guaranteed to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Invest in our company because we can guarantee this rate of return on your investment by the end of this year. Friends, as confident as people are about saying guarantees like that, none of those people can actually control the results. Even in those areas, no person can ensure that the result will happen exactly the way they said. Last year, a friend of mine was a part of a large international gathering of Christians considering how to labor together in evangelism, and he sent to me a page from the report that they were given. And this page, everyone at this conference had been given a chart showing that if everyone at this conference adopted this particular evangelistic method, in the past year, we would have seen over 2,200 churches planted every single day. Oh, what foolish pride. To think that we can guarantee with the right approach people's salvation. Don't we know? We might sow and water, but it's God who gives the growth. And that's why we did what we just did a few moments ago. We prayed to God for the salvation of people because we know we cannot make them be saved. God does not require us. God does not require us to guarantee results. What God requires of us is to be faithful. The results are His job. Lady Folly invites us to believe that particular methods, particular techniques will guarantee particular results in a certain amount of time. But friends, down that road, there is only sorrow, anxiety, and despair. This last week, Tom actually shared an article written by a Christian journalist named Megan Basham, who had recently been diagnosed with serious cancer. And she had responded to this news of her cancer. She's probably in her early 40s, by trying to understand the statistical landscape of cancer. So she began with her own particular diagnosis, and then she went out and was seeing other cancer diagnoses and other treatment plans. What was the statistical likelihood of survival? She would stay up late into the night. Her husband would wake up repeatedly and turn over and see her sitting at the laptop, staring at these statistical results, as though that is where she could find some sense of stability, as though from that she could know what the outcome was going to be in her life. But friends, statistics are general data, which means while they are generally useful, they are specifically useless. Knowing statistics did not bring her a sense of control, a sense of peace. What it did bring her was a conviction that less and less people could actually comfort her in what she was struggling with, because she was so aware of how their lives were not like hers. And friends, what finally helped Megan was not a full mastery of cancer survival statistics, but in the Lord's kindness, it was the song that we just sang, "Whate'er My God Ordains Is Right." A song that reminded her what she had believed but had not applied in this situation, that God was in control, and statistics do not force His hand. The Puritan Stephen Charnock said this: "How often are our spirits troubled about future events? How often are we afraid of the evil which threatens us, as if we were in pain for God and in doubt of His wise conduct? How will God ever solve this problem?" That is the road that Lady Folly invites us down. But Lady Wisdom has a different invitation. It's there in 16, verse 3. "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." This is our second point. Work hard with hope. This is how we trust God with the results. We recognize that it's all in His hands, not in ours. And then resting in that truth, we work hard with hope. Notice that proverb I just read, 16 verse 3, it does not say, "Commit your plans to the Lord and your work will be established." No, it says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." In other words, the way of wisdom isn't through anxious hashing and rehashing of your plan to try to get it exactly right, to line up in exactly the avenue that you hope it will go and take into consideration all contingencies that might come up. No, the way of wisdom is to simply do something. Do what seems prudent and God-honoring, and let God worry about the results. This applies to many, many things in your life. Some of you in trying to find a sustainable job. Some of you in trying to manage your own health struggles. Some of you in trying to prepare for examination or reaccreditation. Some of you in just simply trying to know what you should do next week. how you should care for your parents who are aging, how you should make decisions for your own self in health challenges. Do what seems prudent and God-honoring, and trust God with the results. Don't give yourself to anxious toil. Give yourself to confident work in trusting it to the Lord. I told you this morning that you'll hear me talk a lot, often, about the ordinary means of grace, and here I am keeping my promise. God has taught us what we ought to do in the Christian life. Read the Bible. Meditate on His Word. Pray. Attend to the preaching of God's Word. Give ourselves the ordinance of baptism and Lord's Supper. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. Commit to one another as members of a local church. He has given us these ordinary means because these are things ordinary, not because they are boring, not because they are below our attention and esteem, but because these how God often, regularly, encourages, sustains, and equips Christians to be strengthened and filled with joy and a peace beyond all understanding. We commit ourselves to those ordinary means of grace, not because these are God's techniques, where God has promised if we pray X amount, we will receive Y amount of grace, but because we humbly assume that God knows best what we should do and recognize that at the end of the day, God's grace is God's. He, not we, is the one who decides how much He will pour out, where and when. So working hard with hope, friends, what does this look like? Don't let your questions about tomorrow paralyze your faithfulness today. Don't let your questions about tomorrow paralyze your faithfulness about today. What has the Lord given you for today? Don't worry about where it's all leading. Worry about honoring the Lord with what is clear today. And let Him worry about the grand plan of your life. Because we, let's face it, are terrible at prediction. We cannot tell, even right after a conversation, whether what we said is going to help the person a lot or be forgotten 10 minutes later. Even when we see results from what we've decided to do, we're so bad at evaluating whether what we decided turned out well or turned out poorly. And friends, what helps us not capsize in all of the uncertainty around us is this promise: the Lord is in control. Look there again at Proverbs 21, 30 and 31. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can defeat the Lord. Victory comes from the Lord. There is both a warning and a comfort in those verses together. The warning: you cannot frustrate God's purposes. You cannot work around Him. As David says in Psalms 2, the nations rage and plot in vain, and the one enthroned in heaven laughs. And the comfort: you cannot frustrate God's purposes, and nor can anyone else. Friends, remember how Joseph reflected at the end of his life of the miserable suffering at the hands of his own brothers. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. As we can have questions about how that works out, but the first thing that we must remind ourselves is this truth: God is seated on His throne. Victory comes from the Lord. God can and God will do exactly what He has promised. No one can ruin God's plans. The outcome is secure. Journalist Megan Basham, after she came across that song, "Whatever My God Ordains Is Right," she got a new pathology report. She says this: when this new report showed that a spot on my lung was indeed metastatic and necessitated that I be restaged from stage 3 to stage 4, I still cried. I still asked my doctors what it meant for my chances of long-term remission. But I also felt a strange peace. One might say a peace that passes understanding. Because my life does not hang on a coin toss. It is not at the mercy of a cosmic roulette wheel. It will be decided by the one who loves me more than any other. There is nothing to fear in that. The path of wisdom is not one of anxious toil, but of doing what God has given us to do and trusting Him with the results. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you that no wisdom, no insight, no plan can succeed against you. Victory is yours. Lord, we praise you that in Christ, you allow us to share in that victory. That we can have hope and confidence that you, the one who rules all things, love us. And you will work all things together for the good of those who love you. We thank you for that true promise. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.